Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for March 7th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, has been actively engaged in addressing various issues surrounding climate exchange disclosure, order execution quality, and the standardization of climate-related disclosures for investors. Chair Gary Gensler has been at the forefront hosting Office Hours with Gary Gensler, climate risk disclosure, and issuing statements on final rules regarding order execution quality and mandatory climate risk disclosures. Commissioners Hester M. Pierce, Carolyn A. Crenshaw, Mark T. Iuda, and Jaime Lizarga have also contributed with their statements on rule adoption, amendments, and dissenting opinions regarding order execution reporting and climate-related disclosures. The statements and video include Office Hours with Gary Gensler, Climate Risk Disclosure, Statement on Final Rules Regarding Order Execution Quality, Chair Gary Gensler, Keeping Up with the Markets, Statement on Rule 605 Adoption, Commissioner Hester M. Pierce, Statement on Adoption of Amendments to Rule 605, Disclosure of Order Execution Information, Commissioner Carolyn A. Crenshaw, Statement on Rule Amendments Regarding Disclosure of Order Execution Information, Commissioner Mark T. Iuda, and Enhancing Order Execution Reporting for the Benefit of Investors, Commissioner Jaime Lizarga. Also, Statement on Final Rules Regarding Mandatory Climate Risk Disclosures, Chair Gary Gensler. Green Regs and Spam, Statement on the Enhancement and Standardization of Climate-Related Disclosures for Investors, Commissioner Hester M. Pierce. A Risk by Any Other Name, Statement on the Enhancement and Standardization of Climate-Related Disclosures, Commissioner Carolyn A. Crenshaw. Climate Regulation under the Commission's Seal, Dissenting Statement on the Enhancement and Standardization of Climate-Related Disclosures for Investors, Commissioner Mark T. Iuda. And finally, Enhancing and Standardizing Climate-Related Disclosures for Investors, Commissioner Jaime Lizarga. Don't miss the upcoming FIA webinar titled The SEC's New Treasury Clearing Rule, hosted by Allison Lurton, scheduled for March 21st at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. This webinar, part of the Law and Compliance Division series, promises an insightful exploration into the implications of the SEC's latest regulatory move. Joining the discussion are esteemed panelists Deborah North, Brandon Hammer, Lauren Semrad, and Wonkin Wang, all from Cleary, Gottlieb, Steen, and Hamilton. Together, they will review the final rule and its potential impacts on future commission merchants, FCMs, and derivatives lawyers. This event offers a valuable opportunity to navigate the complexities of the SEC's regulatory landscape and gain crucial insights into compliance strategies and best practices. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. Our friends at Connemara are sponsoring the pickleball tournament at FIA Boca 2024, and it made me wonder where the name pickleball originated from. Did you know that pickleball is named after the family dog of one of its founders, Joel Pritchard? In 1965, Pritchard, along with his friends Bill Bell and Barney McCollum, created the game to entertain their families during a summer gathering. The name pickleball reportedly originated from the Pritchard family's dog, Pickles, who would chase away stray balls during the game. As the sport gained popularity, the name stuck, eventually becoming known as pickleball. Had I created the game as an adult, it might have been called Snickers Ball, Bella Ball, or Indy Ball. Of course, Indy's real name is Indiana Jones, so it would have been Indiana Jones Ball. If I had invented it as a kid, it would have been Fritzy Ball or Lady Ball. Now, Fritzy was a girl, and you could not name a girl dachshund a boy's name, so her real name was Snoopy Fritzette. How about that for a game? Snoopy Fritzette Ball. On March 6, 2024, the Securities and Exchange Commission adopted long-awaited rules to enhance and standardize climate-related disclosures for investors. In a Bloomberg podcast, SEC Chairman Gary Gensler responded to criticism that California's rules and Europe's rules are significantly stricter than the SEC's, saying those entities have a different goal, that of managing the environment. Gensler said the SEC is a securities regulator and we stay within our chalk lines. On LinkedIn, ESG professional networks were buzzing with the comments about the scope of the rules related to greenhouse gas emissions. Hannah Heineken, attorney for Client Earth, posted, "Critics are rightly disappointed with the SEC's final decision to exclude mandatory disclosure of a company's upstream and downstream, Scope 3, GHG emissions, which typically make up the largest proportion of their carbon footprint, and the other mandated disclosures on direct Scope 1 emissions and energy usage, Scope 2, are still subject to a materiality test. But let's remember that materiality is fundamentally about what is important to a reasonable investor. This is well established in case law. As climate risks mount, a reasonable investor will want and need more information on how public companies are addressing climate risk. This rule is only the beginning." Hours after the rules were released, 10 Republican-led states sued to challenge them, according to a Reuters story. The SEC action came amidst a political and cultural retreat in the United States against the Environment, Social, and Governance, ESG, financial framework, which helps stakeholders understand how an organization manages risks and opportunities related to sustainability. View the press release, download a fact sheet, and peruse the 800 pages of rule details with a link in today's newsletter. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JALEN Options were: SEC pushes back decisions on BlackRock Fidelity's Ether ETF applications, CoinDesk via Yahoo Finance; FIA announces 2024 President's Award winners from FIA; and VIX from SIBO. Subscribe to the free JALEN Options newsletter with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JALEN. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Bitcoin bulls cite a simple rule for its rally: not enough coin. What makes the cryptocurrency different from just about any other commodity is its tightly constrained supply. Why did Bitcoin soar to a record this week? Fans of the world's largest cryptocurrency say it's due to old-fashioned laws of supply and demand. Like the price of any commodity, whether it be gold, oil, or soybeans, Bitcoin price is sensitive to fluctuations in demand. And demand for Bitcoin surged after the January launch of U.S. exchange-traded funds, known as spot Bitcoin ETFs, that directly holds units of the digital currency. Since then, investors have poured billions of dollars into those ETFs. Those inflows prompted the funds to buy Bitcoin to meet the demand, bidding up the price. My comment: I honestly and humbly say this. Thank you to Alexander Ospovich for writing this story, which mirrored my comments from last week about Bitcoin and the supply and demand issues. He did a much better job with this without all my opinions dripping from it. Here's another story, this one from Reuters. The headline: senior Russian officer warned Ukraine conflict could escalate into full-scale war in Europe. A senior Russian military officer has warned that the conflict in Ukraine could escalate into a full-scale war in Europe and said that the probability of Moscow's forces becoming involved in a new conflict is increasing significantly. Colonel General Vladimir Zarudnitsky, head of the Russian Army's Military Academy of the General Staff, made the comments in an article for Military Thought, a defense ministry publication, the state RIA news agency reported on Thursday. My comment, yes, that is the risk and why Ukraine has friends. Here's another story, this one from Axios. The headline, the Satoshi mystery, Bitcoin's anonymous creator and a $70 billion fortune. A trial unfolding this week in the UK centers on the biggest open question in the cryptocurrency world. Who is Bitcoin creator Satoshi Nakamoto? Why it matters? Almost no one believes the man currently in court claiming to be Satoshi really is Bitcoin's anonymous founder. But there are some compelling theories for who Satoshi really is and who might control the $1.1 million Bitcoin in known Satoshi wallets. My comment. This story says Satoshi is an individual, not a group. Here's my question. If Satoshi has $70 billion made in the Genesis block of crypto he reportedly owns, then what would a Mrs. Nakamoto have to say? Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was hedge fund startups on the rise with giant firms under scrutiny from Bloomberg. Second was Simon Rostron's LinkedIn post about the LBMA London gold price scaling new heights. Third was top real estate CEO warns 500 or more banks will either fail or be consolidated over the next 2 years from Fortune. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Here's the first one from Bloomberg. The headline, CEO of options powerhouse CBOE swats down talk of a takeover. Frederick Tomczyk has slowed M&A. Focused on organic growth, exchange has made it very expensive for potential acquirers. Cboe Global Markets, Inc. is aiming to grow too large for potential acquirers to swallow up. After years of speculation about takeover possibilities, the exchange operator's new chief executive officer says it's unlikely a suitor will make an offer that works. Quote, we're 100% focused on making it very expensive if anybody wants to acquire us, and we'd be very suspect of what would actually get done, unquote, Frederick Tomczyk said in his first media interview since taking over in September. Quote, if you walk through the logic, it's not obvious to us that anybody would be allowed or able to do it, unquote. Here's another story, this one from the Associated Press. The headline, SEC approves rule requiring some companies to report greenhouse gas emissions. Legal challenges loom. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission on Wednesday approved a rule that will require some public companies to report their greenhouse gas emissions and climate risks after last-minute revisions that weakened the directive in the face of strong pushback from companies. The rule was one of the most anticipated in recent years from the nation's top financial regulator, drawing more than 24,000 comments from companies, auditors, legislators, and trade groups over a two-year process. It brings the U.S. closer to the European Union and California, which moved ahead earlier with corporate climate disclosure rules. Here's a comment from Sally Duros. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and National Public Radio, and Politico. There are links for each in today's newsletter. Here's another story, this one from Traders Exchange. 24 Exchange aims to launch National U.S. Equities Exchange. 24 Exchange, a multi-asset class trading platform, has recently submitted an updated Form 1 application to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, for a license to create a new national securities exchange. If approved, this new U.S. equities exchange, 24X National Exchange, will be the first fully electronic exchange in the U.S. that allows around-the-clock trading of securities. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform on which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't yet subscribed to the Daily John Lothian Newsletter, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.